the women who come and live with us, they're coming and they're becoming a witness on their college campuses.
This is Family Policy Matters Focus on Faith Edition with Thomas Graham, Pastor Outreach Director for NC Family. Join us once a month as Pastor Graham shines some light on the intersection between our Christian faith and engaging our culture.
Thank you for joining us for this week's special Focus on Faith Edition of Family Policy Matters. Today I'm pleased to be joined by a woman who is at the forefront of the pro-life movement. She walks with mothers in very real and tangible ways on a college campus in Western North Carolina as they navigate unplanned or crisis pregnancies. Debbie Kappen is the executive director of Mira Via, a beautiful ministry in Western North Carolina that offers not just a wide variety of free support services for pregnant women, but also provides a free residential program for local pregnant college students. Debbie Kappen, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show today.
I'm honored, Pastor Graham. Thank you.
So wonderful to have you. Debbie, we all like to tell stories, and I know you have a powerful one to tell. Would you share just a kind of a snapshot of your life story with our listeners, particularly your faith journey and how your relationship with God worked to prepare you for the work that you do today, Mira Via?
Certainly. Thank you. I grew up in a Catholic Christian family in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And like a lot of young children, I truly had a love for God at an early age. And as I grew, though, like a lot of people that I know, that love starts to dim as we grow in the worldly ways. And especially when I was 13, my dad passed away suddenly. And unfortunately, at that time, I started to look more for love and comfort in worldly relationships and ideas. And before long, I had gone off to college and had started to embrace a lot of the feminism and liberal ideology that I was being taught at college. So that by the time I was, you know, going back home, I was only attending church when my mom made me when I was home for break. So, you know, unfortunately, as a result of that lifestyle, I was out partying and doing all the things that I hope my own children never do, and got pregnant the summer before my sophomore year. And at a young age of 18, I, looking back, I was not a woman. I was practically a child and completely terrified by the pregnancy. I drove back to college and made a walk down to the health clinic on campus, because I wanted another pregnancy test just to confirm my fear. And
yes,
also, deep down, I was looking for help. I was looking for guidance. I didn't know what to do. And I remember standing there at the clinic desk and told them why I was there. And the woman just kind of gave me this cold response of, well, if you took a home pregnancy test, then you're pregnant. And there's really nothing that we can do for you here.
Oh, boy.
And I just stood there, dumbfounded, looking at her, and she must have felt sorry for me. And she said, well, do you want to talk to someone? And I said, yes. And they sent someone out to me in the waiting room. I was mortified. They didn't even call me back to a private room. And I asked her what I should do, and she said, well, I guess if you're, you know, if you're looking for an abortion, just go to the Yellow Pages, and you'll find someplace there. And that was it. That was the counseling I got.
Wow.
Yeah, So tragically, I wish that I had reached out to my mom, of course, now, and I wish that I'd reached out to Christian friends that I knew existed. But instead, blinded by fear, I went to the Yellow Pages and went through with the abortion. And honestly, for a while, I was probably the poster child for Planned Parenthood. I graduated college, I met my future husband, I had a great job, and here I was with everything I thought I wanted, and deep down I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled. I could not put my finger on what was wrong. And after a lot of self-reflection, I realized that I missed God. I missed His love in my life. I missed that peace. And I didn't know even where to begin to go back to God. I deep down thought that I was unforgivable. And the only thing I could remember were the Our Father and the Hail Mary that I knew as a child.
That's a good starting point.
I honestly, that's all I knew, and so that's what I did. And I started to pray the Our Father and the Hail Mary, and my prayer was that God would put me back on a path to Him. Day after day, week after week, I began to open the Bible. I went back to church. I was praying for my fiancé. And before I knew it, he was returned to God too. And I opened up to him. I told him about my past. He was so loving, so forgiving, so encouraging. And I told him, I said, I want to help other women. I want to do something about this. Don't want other people to experience that isolation from God that I felt.
Yes.
And so that's what put me on this path to follow God's call.
Oh, indeed. And my ears are just ringing with a feeling of blessing hearing you tell me that. You know, it's exciting for me, Debbie, to think that Miravia's mission describes its Christ-centered work as being inspired by the examples of both of Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. Tell us, if you will, please, how the example of this holy family impacts both your motivation and also your tangible resources.
Absolutely. We made it part of our mission statement to model ourselves after the Holy Family. From the very beginning, when Mary gave her yes, her fiat to God, to that life in her womb, that pregnancy she never expected.
Right.
Want our mothers to feel that yes and that joy of the life growing in their womb. And just as Mary nourished our Lord and taught him spiritually and met his emotional needs, we want to do that for our young women and to introduce them to Christ and for all of their growth and their spiritual journey. And then on the example of Joseph was entrusted with the physical needs and the sheltering and all that Mary and Jesus needed.
Yes.
And through our residential facility, I think embodies that strength that Joseph provided, the shelter, the security. You know, when women walk through our doors, they immediately, over and over again, tell us that they just feel safe and at home. And so from the meals we provide to the diapers and the crib and the clothing and the teaching them, the education, we're there to show them what a real family looks like. And we become that family for them for the 2 years that they're with us.
Wow.
And we make sure that they have pastors in their life and setting that example that not just while they're with us, but that they can take it out with them and create families, which are the building blocks of our society.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
So why choose to be on, not just near, a college campus, Debbie?
Well, unfortunately, I think that the college campuses around the nation are a place where we're losing the culture war. The people at Belmont Abbey College, understand this, and they have created an atmosphere on their campus that is a loving Christian environment where they want to set an example and evangelize not only to their students but to the world. And the Abbot of Belmont Abbey offered to donate the land to us.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so what an unbelievable opportunity.
Absolutely.
And from that invitation, we were able to get a foothold and to build this facility that we hope will be a model for colleges all over the country and the world. Because if we're not going to them, then we're losing. And so the women who come and live with us and go to school either at Belmont Abbey or wherever they are already attending school, because honestly that's our hope, is that they can continue on the trajectory that they were on.
Right.
They're coming and they're becoming a witness on their college campuses. You never see pregnant college students, right? But
right.
Now people are seeing it. And once they can see it and understand, oh, it's not the end of the world, it's the beginning of a new life, that's how we're changing the culture, you know, one by one, step by step. If I could give a quick example, one of our residents, she was on a college sports team. And she bravely decided to choose life, and her coach was supportive. And although her teammates at first thought that she was crazy. By the end of it, honestly, these young women were babysitting for her and throwing her baby showers.
Oh, wow.
And she told us that in confidential moments, you know, they were sharing with her that they always thought that they were pro-choice, that if they ever got pregnant, that they would choose abortion. But now after seeing her and her sweet little boy, they knew that that was not the way to go. So from one person, she impacted dozens.
Isn't that terrific? I just love that. Debbie, what are the most sought-after services that you provide to young women, and which ones do you think are the most important there?
Honestly, I think the most important service is intangible. We're an antidote to fear. Abortion is motivated by fear. Mm-hmm. And when they come to us, we're able to show them that they don't have to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of, that all the things that they're thinking of, there's actually a solution to that. And so you really can't pick one, because they're all interwoven, from knowing,
right,
okay, I don't have to drop out of school. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to live. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to feed my child. And honestly, one of them is just our counselors that help them to understand how to have those difficult conversations in their life with their family and with their friends, and then, you know, with their professors and all of those in their life that they're worried about, the challenge of those relationships. We're here to give them the tools that they need.
I think that's great. What are the most needed, or perhaps the best ways for someone to reach out and minister to mothers in their own communities who are facing unplanned or difficult pregnancies, Debbie? Based upon your experience, what do you recommend?
Yeah, of course, first of all, is prayer. I think that my conversion, I know, was the fruit of people's prayers for me. And I think that being non-judgmental and understanding that everyone is on this journey, this miraculous way that we're all on.
Yes.
And just looking in our own backyards, that the pro-life organizations that are around us,
right,
we all need help. And so I think that the best place to start are the pregnancy resource centers, the maternity homes, the pro-life advocacy groups that are already in existence. We are strength in numbers, and we need that unity that crosses any divide to continue to help this effort to understand that all life is sacred, every life has worth, and every woman can be ministered to. And I think that a lot of times it's about how we talk about it in our own homes, so that we're helping each other to be able to be prepared. No one ever expects for that moment to come,
yes,
for someone in our life to be pregnant that we don't think is ever going to happen.
Right.
And it's so important for us to start right where we are in our own homes and lives and workplaces to be that light in the world.
Debbie, this has been such a joy to hear you and to listen to your story and to hear how much you're helping young women who are caught up in these unplanned and difficult pregnancy situations. However, our time is about run out. Before we close this interview, I'd like to ask you, Debbie, where can our listeners go to learn more about your work, the work of MiraVia? Where should they go online?
Oh, please. Our website is miravia.org, so that's miravia.org. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and it's funny because we do get referrals from online, and every time something is liked and shared, then the word gets out more.
I love it. That's just great. And Debbie, now it's my pleasure to just say a big thank you. Thank you for being with us today on Family Policy Matters. Thank you also for your life-affirming work and your loving work with MiraVia, helping young mothers face very difficult time in their lives. Thank you so much for letting the Lord use you the way that He has. God bless you, and God bless the wonderful work of MiraVia.
Thank you, Pastor Graham, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to continue to get the word out.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, Focus on Faith Edition, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.